Network. Let's bring in Paul Emmick, shall we?
Need the latest news and analysis on your green and gold? Well, we better call Paul.
Green and Gold analyst Paul Emmick is brought to you by Sprinkler Fitters Local 183, protecting life and property in Wisconsin since 1906. For career opportunities, go to sprinklerfitters183.org.
Paul Emmick, our Green and Gold analyst, now joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. And Paul, Mercedes Lewis certainly peeled away a layer of the onion today, in which I guess there were times that Aaron Rodgers would get a play and just kind of go, nah, not going to run that, and then off to something else. Now, the one play he was specifically talking about was successful, but it gives you a little bit of insight as to maybe what was going on with the dysfunctionality behind the walls of 1265.
Yeah, that was a heck of a story to wake up to this morning, scrolling through Twitter and seeing this Yahoo Sports story with the interview with Mercedes Lewis. I think it confirms, more than anything, what we all suspected, what we knew was happening to some degree. But I think, if this was like a third-year player, you could probably say, yeah, well, third-year player, you don't have the NFL experience to really speak on this topic. Mercedes Lewis has been in the league for 13 years. He's never been a star player. You would think, if all things were equal, he would want to come back to Green Bay for another year just so he could stick in the league for another season. And so to speak out of school a little bit, or to be so candid, almost works against his own self-interest. The point being to say that this is as much of a peek behind the curtain of what was happening that I think you'll ever get from a player who, has something to lose in revealing that much information. Because, I don't know, if you're Rodgers now, and the Packers are like, hey, we're going to bring back Mercedes Lewis, I don't know if you'd be so excited about that, because not that it's like that big of a deal, all things considered, but you're still revealing things that were probally supposed to be kept internal, if all things were equal. So, yeah, that's, it's fascinating, Bill. And so the first thing I just thought was, okay, so for anybody who said, and I don't think this was, I never thought this was an all McCarthy issue. This was never an all Rodgers issue. There were several things going on. But I think when you get to a point where, to use Mercedes Lewis's, term, to get the play call come in and have the quarterback say, quote, nah, end quote, is puts it pretty clear that the authority power structure was not strong enough, because that shouldn't be happening. It doesn't mean that the quarterback and any team shouldn't be allowed to change the play if he sees something. But as Mercedes Lewis said, you're talking about, you're in a 4-minute offense, and you completely disregard the play call, and you throw a 40-yard bomb down the field. Something was, communication-wise, power structure-wise, it was pretty clear that, Rodgers was the prevailing voice, because, again, as we said so many times about Mike McCarthy, he never, ever, ever, not once, took a public shot at Rodgers. He never once, McCarthy didn't, when an opportunity would have been there for him to defend himself publicly and say, I didn't call that play, or Aaron did this, and I didn't approve it. He could have done all those things, and he never did. And I think that's what I think one of the things we'll remember most about the McCarthy Rodgers era is how professional, I suppose, is the right word, McCarthy kept that relationship despite obviously some things going on that I'm sure he would have preferred not to have happen, like having his own play be actually run rather than being disregarded at the line of scrimmage. So I think it confirms what most of us thought. And that is that Rodgers did have a lot of control, a lot of ability to change things. And so if you are trying to assess, these final years or final months of the McCarthy-Rodgers era, you have to now understand pretty clearly that that Rodgers had a lot of ability to change plays and impact stuff at the line of scrimmage and override what the play call was that initially came in.
What does it tell you that Mike McCarthy never said a word about it?
That he, if there was, I think, I'd have to put a lot of thought into this to really, but I feel like one of the top things on Mike McCarthy's mission statement would be, like, let's say he becomes the next Jets head coach. I think one of the things that he will first tell his players, one of the things that will be part of his quote-unquote mission statement will be, I will never say anything to make it more difficult to be in the locker room with the media. Never once. I take that back. Only once. I just thought of one occasion where Mike McCarthy actually said something where I was like, whoa, he just said that. and it was about how Eddie Lacy was too fast. Remember that?
Yep.
At the end of like the 2015 season. And it was so alarming because it was like, McCarthy actually went there. You know, he never talks like this about his players. But with the exception of that, all I can think of off the top of my head, with the exception of one instance in 13 years, did McCarthy kind of put a player on blast, you know, and really kind of say something that would make it hard to for that player to go in the locker room. And so I think that's just the way he believes, Bill, is, you know, for better, for worse, probably mostly for better, for the sake of his players, he would rather take the fall publicly and in the public eye than say something that might make it more difficult for one of his players. And I think it's one of the most commendable parts about his run, that, yeah, should there have probably been more Super Bowl appearances? Yeah. Should there probably have been another Super Bowl ring? Yeah, probably. You know, he had Favre and he had Rodgers. But I think all of his – and you could tell when he got fired, and the Packers let him back in the building and they gave him a standing ovation. The players vastly, you know, for the vast majority, clearly had his back, clearly loved the guy. And I'm sure part of that was because no matter what you do wrong, McCarthy is not going to go in front of the media and slam you. And I think it's a big part of, I think, what people should remember about his run.
The run for McCarthy is interesting because when you start, people are laying down all the different qualifications they want for the next head coach, and I keep saying, well, that's McCarthy, short of the bad relationship with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Is there anybody like McCarthy, and I'm not making light of this, is there anybody with McCarthy's credentials that are out there?
Again, I don't think Mike McCarthy had, like, amazing credentials back in 2005. You know, he had just spent his first year as an offensive coordinator for a bad offense in San Francisco. You know, he was not a glamorous candidate, which tells me, like, again, back in 2005, we didn't live in the Twitter era of, you know, immediate reaction and all of these different things where it's not just a 24/7 news cycle. It's like a every second, every minute news cycle. I don't think hiring Mike McCarthy 13 years ago, if Twitter existed, would have been, like, unanimously approved. It would have probably been a lot of, you know, like, really, that's the best we could do? We're the Green Bay Packers. You just brought in the coordinator for the 30th ranked offense in the league. What, you know, what are you doing?
Right.
So, like, if it does end up being, you know, Carmichael in New Orleans or LaFleur in Tennessee, a guy that, you know, an offensive-minded coordinator-type guy who doesn't have a ton of track record, you know, of course we're all going to have our instant reactions and we're going to learn as much about that guy as we possibly can. But, it'll, you know, just like any draft pick, it's going to probably take 2 to 3 years for us to really know if his system worked, if he had a strong enough personality to relate to Aaron Rodgers, to connect with Aaron Rodgers, to get through the rest of the locker room, to not show favoritism. I mean, if there's something to be said across the league right now, Mike Tomlin apparently is so dead set on being Ben Roethlisberger's guy that he's alienating Antonio Brown. He alienated Le'Veon Bell. So, like, you have to be strong with your quarterback while also having the respect of the rest of your locker room so they don't feel like, well, you're always going to have Roethlisberger's back. Why don't you have my back, you know? And that's a really tough thing to draw when you have a very when you have a first ballot Hall of Famer. When you're coaching jobs are not supposed to open up in the offseason in which you're inheriting a first ballot, one of the best quarterback ever type of players. That's not supposed to happen. So the reason it's happening, though, is because there was obviously, you know, sort of a power dynamic that towards the end, at least, McCarthy wasn't able to balance. So, you know, Bill, I think, you know, you look at some of the we know Josh McDaniels, there's a lot of info about him. But if they do end up going with another offensive-minded guy, like I said, Carmichael in New Orleans, LaFleur in Tennessee, just to name a couple, you either have to trust that Murphy and Gutkins know what they're doing, or you have to kind of doubt that process. And I think that's up for each individual Packer fan to decide. If it's a guy we all know, if it ends up being McDaniels, we know more about him. But otherwise, just remember that 13 years ago, Mike McCarthy was not a sexy, top-of-the-list head coaching candidate. And, you know, while we can debate the overall success of his run, he did have a 13-year run and did bring a Super Bowl, and maybe it wasn't enough, but it was still a longer run than what 99% of NFL head coaches ever get with one team.
Time with Green and Gold analyst Paul Immig. And Paul, before I let you go, now we move on because you get past the Mercedes Lewis stuff, you get past the coaching search. People seem to think that this is going to be some kind of massive detrimental cause for the Green Bay Packers and Mark Murphy and Brian Gutekunst to go out and find a head coach. I suggest the opposite. Like you said, people are inheriting a Hall of Fame quarterback. People are inheriting a storied franchise. They're inheriting the legitimate shot at winning a Super Bowl in the next 2 to 3 to 4 years. Now, granted, it comes with a lot of pressure, and, oh, by the way, you're inheriting probably a pretty good salary along with it. This is not a job where people are looking at it going, no way, I'm not taking that thing.
I can't imagine. I mean, like, you're going to have your instances of, like, clearly Fitzgerald wasn't going to leave Northwestern for anything. You know, he made that pretty clear. And I know some people were kind of turned off by the fact that Fitzgerald's comments didn't necessarily deter Murphy and Gutekunst initially because, well, it's the Packers. You shouldn't have to beg somebody to take this job. And I understand that. And I know some people are a little bit dismayed by the fact that Murphy and Gutekunst are going to New England, are going to New Orleans to visit these coaches rather than them coming to Green Bay. I don't think you should care about that too much. I mean, like, you know, ultimately, if it's like if Josh McDaniels really wants the Cleveland job, which was reported this morning, I think, on NFL.com, if that's really, you know, if he's really trying to, like, leverage the Packers to get a better offer from Cleveland, you know, fine, right? I mean, like, if those kind of things happen, some coaches take interviews so they can get a higher salary from their current team or so that they can leverage that to get with another team. But, again, I know Mark Murphy's current, you know, approval rating, as it were, isn't great with some people, you know, and they kind of feel like he's taken over too much responsibility and they want Brian Gutekunst to have more control. But it seems like if you're going to take these guys at their words that it's going to be very much a mutual effort, that if anything, Gutekunst is going to get the sort of the first say at it, and then it's up for Murphy to say yes or no. But it would, I mean, I can't imagine the two of those guys being on such different pages that would actually be an issue. So it's going to be fun to kind of watch play out. I mean, I don't, you know, again, Bill, we talked about this a week ago. If you go in the room with the right guy and they wow you, I wouldn't be surprised at all if the Packers, you know, had an offer out to somebody in the next few days, because you're not going to take these interviews, have one of these candidates blow you away, and then say, okay, cool, I'll talk to you in a couple of weeks. Because if they wowed you, they're going to wow the next team too. And I think that's when you start to get aggressive and you start to say, I'm not leaving the room without at least getting this guy an offer, letting him feel it out, let, you know, gauge his level of interest in accepting it on the spot. You know, and I would say too, I don't think that Brian Gutekunst was Mark Murphy when the GM search started last offseason. I don't think Mark Murphy went into it thinking that Brian Gutekunst was his leading candidate. I think he probably thought Russ Ball was the leading candidate, you know, bringing back a former Packers executive. I mean, there's talk about how do you get Schneider from Seattle somehow back to Green Bay, you know, as a former DePere native and all these other things. So I think if there's one thing you want to say, you know, you want to take in about Murphy as a figurehead of this team, it's that I think he's able to be swayed by a good interview, which is what I assume Brian Gutekunst had when he sat down for that GM spot and must have wowed Mark Murphy in that process. So I'm fascinated to see who the next few days take us, Bill, because I'm sure if one of these guys do have a good interview that there's going to be an offer waiting for them soon after, if not on that same day, and then we just kind of wait to find out how quickly they accept it or which direction the Packers end up going.
Good stuff, Paul. Enjoy the weekend. We'll talk again next week, okay?
All right, Bill, enjoy the wild card games, but I'm yeah, so excited for football this weekend.
I can't wait for it, unless, of course, you're going to watch it on Fox coming up on Saturday night. Then you're going to have to go and stand on top of your roof or something. Hope for the best.
That is the one, yeah. All right, Bill.
Buddy. Talk to you later. There you go. That's Paul Emig joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus years. I'm going to get done. Call them 844-PRIDE. Go to schneiderjobs.com.